get them prayed for. Amen. Take it, put it in your Bible, put it where you read every day, whatever you need to do to be reminded to pray for them every day. Maybe with your prayer journal, however you do it, prayer list. Amen. But these missionaries need prayer. Amen. Esther chapter number 9. If you need a reading schedule, get you one of them. We're going to have a meeting after church tonight about the Christmas play. So anybody interested, just come up to the front up here on these pews over here when service is over, and they'll talk about that. Amen. Amen. Well, remember Ted Mack and Miss Jennifer. Amen. They're out at the Outer Banks for a couple of days. So pray for their traveling grace. Also, amen, if you weren't here for prayer room time, amen, if you don't know by now, the Thomases, Miss Alice's father, has COVID, and they were around him for several days last week. And so they're self-quarantined for 14 days. So I'm sure they'd appreciate your prayers there also. Amen. So remember them in your prayers. Amen. All right, Brother John, take that basket again. And here's what we're going to do, amen. Brother James Martin had his eye surgery the other day. Went well, thank the Lord, but his pressure's still up, so pray that God will take care of that. But we're going to take up a special offering for him and his family. If you want to help him out, give, amen. Take it up, throw it in that basket right there, amen. Going to help him out, amen. I'm sure it'll be a blessing, amen. Amen. If you can give to help out, you do it. Amen. Oh, let me put my offering here. Esther chapter number 9. Good to be in church, ain't it? Amen. Amen. There is coming a day. What a day that will be. Amen. Amen. What a day that will be. That's what I'm going to preach to you tonight about. What a day that'll be. Well, there is coming a day. Amen. There is coming a day. Out of Esther chapter 9, we'll read the first 16 verses. And we'll get into the study tonight on that subject. There is coming a day. And thank God there's coming a day. Amen. Amen. Verse number 1 of chapter 9. We're down in the short rows, farmers call it, amen, in the book of Esther. 32 verses here in chapter 9, 3 verses left in chapter 10. We'll be finished with the book and the study on Esther. And then we'll have to come to church for somebody else besides Esther on Wednesday nights, amen. Wednesday nights with Esther will be over soon. We'll see how the Lord leads after that, amen, on Wednesday night Bible study. But it's good to come for Bible study. Amen. We ought to continually be students of the Word of God as we learn and study the book, amen, and how it applies historically, how it applies prophetically, and also how it applies spiritually to our lives, amen. This old book cuts all kind of ways, amen, and it'll help our lives. Esther chapter 9, verse number 1, what's the first word there? Amen. Now, in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, that's the 12th month, 13th day, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemy of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. Boy, it didn't turn out like they thought it was, did it, amen? Verse 2 says, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the provinces, and the lieutenants, and the deputies, and the officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter, and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And Parhadatha and Delphon and Azapatha and Poratha and Adaliah and Ardatha and Parmashatha and Arisha and Ardiah and Verjezathiah. Don't get me to pronounce them 10 again, amen. You know who them 10 were? They were 10 sons of Haman, according to verse number 10. The 10 sons of Haman. Amen. The son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they. But on the spoil laid they not their hand. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace. And the 10 sons of Haman, that's crazy name, fellas. What have they done in the rest of the king's province? Is what the king asked her. Now, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews that are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. They already been put to death. Now she wants them hung up out there as an example. Bible said in verse 15, for the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's province gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. Let us pray. Brother Nolan, how about pray for us, brother? Amen. There is coming a day. According to verse number 1, that day in this book had finally got here. What day was it? The Bible said now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put into execution, in the day that the enemy of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. That day had finally got here. That 13th day of that 12th month, amen, where the Jews were to be slain and killed and destroyed. But on the contrary, another decree had been written that the Jews would stand up and fight for their lives. And that day had finally got here. Hey, to one side it looked like we're going to destroy them. To the other side it looked like we're going to destroy them. But the Jews overturned the decree that was been written against them, and that day finally came to pass. I think about that thought, amen. There's coming a day. I think about that phrase, and it came to pass. That Bible phrase, amen. Hey, for a long time, it looked like a lot of things were against the Jews, but finally it came to pass that they finally got there, that the decree was put behind them, and they could go forward for the Lord. There's coming a day. I want to look at this passage here tonight five different ways. A little bit different the way we've been studying and break it down into threes. But number one, there's coming a day that God will show up and overthrow the enemy. Amen. There's coming a day. Amen. Hey, it looked like, amen, for a long time. time in this book, amen, that the Jews were going to be destroyed, they were going to be slain. Look back to chapter 3 and verse 13 just to remind you of some things. This was the decree on that day, 12th month, 13th day, this was what was supposed to happen. The Bible said in verse 13 of chapter 3, the Bible said, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's province to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey. It looked like for a long time that decree was hanging over the heads of God's people. And it was, amen. Hey, for almost 11 hard months, amen, it was the decree that was put out that, hey, there's coming a day on that 13th day of that 12th month. All the women, all the children, all the men, it didn't matter. They were going to be destroyed. They're going to be annihilated. They were going to be genocide like Hitler wanted to do to the Jews. Hey, he wanted them killed. Haman hated them. And that day was going to come. Amen. But God wrote another decree. Look in chapter 8 in verse number 11. Through the hands of Mordecai and Esther, after Haman was shown to be the imminent enemy that he was. Here's what it said in chapter 8 verse 11. Wherein the king granted the Jews which are in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their lives, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the powers of the people and provinces that would assault them. That decree that was written in chapter 3 and verse 13 to destroy all them, there's another decree written that all the Jews were to stand up on that same day and fight for their lives and defend their family and stand up for their wives and stand up for their children, amen. Hey, stand up and don't let the enemy have his territory. The Bible said, and it caused to perish all the powers of the people and provinces that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Hey, the decree, first decree was written that you're going to destroy them all, you're going to take their spoil for a prey. There's another decree written that no, the Jews are going to stand up on that day. There was coming a day, and it came to pass, and both heads hit together, amen, and the Jews prevailed, amen, because God was with his people, amen. Amen. The Bible said in verse 12, upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. There was coming a day, and there's coming a day also, amen, that God will show up and overthrow the enemy, amen. Just as he did in this passage, God will do it for you and me, and God will do it prophetically for the Jews again in the future, amen. And God defends his children, amen. Listen to this. Proverbs 12 and verse 7 says, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Hey, God's going to take care of his people. Amen. Hey, that proverb came true in this passage. It's going to come true in the future. And you and I have seen it come true in our lives. When the devil tries to overthrow God's people and tries to put them down, God shows up just in time. Hey, there's coming a day when God will overthrow the enemy. Amen. God did it, and God will do it again. Hey, God's going to do it at the rapture of the church. Amen. It looks like the enemy's going to prevail. It looks like God's people are going under. And you look at the end times that we're living in, it looks like, hey, the devil's crowd's just ramping up, and more evils are rising, amen, and seducing spirits are pulling people under, amen. But there's coming a day that God will overthrow the enemy, amen. God's going to take the church home when he steps out in the cloud and says, come up hither, amen. He'll overthrow the enemy and get his people out just in time. And it looks like they was about to go under on the same day God showed up. Well, God's always been right on time. You can't think about that thought about God being right on time without thinking about Lazarus. Oh, he stinketh by now. There ain't no hope. Hey, but God showed up right on time to overthrow the enemy of death in his life and resurrect him from the dead. Amen. And God shows up for his people. Amen. He'll overthrow the enemies at the rapture of the church. But he'll also overthrow the enemies at the rapture of the tribulation. Amen. The tribulation saints will be raptured out. In Revelation chapter 14, in just one passage, it speaks about that. They're the end of the great tribulation period. When it looks like Haman, if you will, a great type of the Antichrist, has got the Jews by the throat and about to put his decrees in action to have them killed for not taking the mark of the beast. But what's going to happen? God's going to show up right on time, overthrow the enemy, amen, and put the devil in his place, amen. Thank God there's coming a day. Amen. What's that day talking about? That day is also talking about the second coming of the Lord. Revelation chapter number 19. When the Lord shall split the skies. Amen. And come back on the stallions with his saints behind him. Amen. With a great battle. And put the devil in his place. And bound him for 1,000 years. Amen. There's coming a day when the devil will be overthrown. And God's people will come out victorious. I think about him doing it at the rapture of the church. I think about him doing it at the tribulation rapture. I think about him doing it at the second coming when he sets this world in order. But you know what I found out in my life, and you can testify again tonight also, that God has always showed up to overthrow the enemy just when we needed it. I mean, there comes times in our lives just like the Jews, man. That 13th day's counting down. It's coming. That 12th month is coming. And you look out in your life and you think, man, there's a day coming. I don't know what we're going to do on that day. But guess what? God always shows up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 talks about God not putting no more on us than we can bear. And he will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Amen. Hey, God always shows up right on time. I think about Jonah down there in that belly of that well. Amen. And he's down in the hearts of hell, if you will, the Bible says. And he's down and it seems like there ain't no hope. But the Bible says, he said, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came up unto thee into thy holy temple. And guess what? God spit him out on dry ground. Amen. Hey, he didn't deserve it. He was running away from God. But God showed up nonetheless to take care of Jonah.
Amen.
Boy, and God does the same thing for me and you. Hey, there's coming a day when the devil will be overthrown. Amen. The enemy will be put in his place. And God will show up to take care of his people. He not only will do it in the future, but he can do it in the future in your life before he ever takes you home also. There's coming a day when the devils and the enemies of this world will be overthrown. Hey, not only I see there's coming a day when the enemies will be overthrown, there's coming a day that prayer will finally change things. You know what we do a lot of times when it comes to our prayer life? We get a little weary. We get a little weary. Luke 18:1 says that man ought always to pray and not to faint. How he ought to always pray and not faint. Why should we always pray? Because just as the truth is that God will show up to overthrow his enemy, God will show up right on time to answer your prayer.
Amen.
It's exactly what he did in this passage. Look in verse number 2. After he had told them to stand up and God overthrew the day when it looked like the enemy was going to prevail, God prevailed. The Bible said in verse 2, the Jews gathered themselves together in Shushan in their cities throughout all the province of the Jew, of King Ahasuerus, to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man would withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. How did fear of all the Jews spread all over the whole city? Well, there was a decree written at one time when all the Jews were going to be destroyed. Guess what? They're in enemy territory. They're then taken captive. God, this is not God's people's home. They are not the majority. They are the minority, amen. And they're over there, and a decree's been written way back, amen, for that 13th day to come to pass of that 12th month, for all the Jews to be killed, and all the city was in an uproar, all the city was perplexed. The Jews were scared for their lives. They were the minority, but guess what they did? They started rattling the chains of glory. They got on their knees, and the Bible shows the proof through this old book. And they got on their knees, and they fasted, and they prayed, and they sought God. And there came a day when those prayers got to ring up in heaven, and God said, go now and answer the prayer and deliver his people. Thank God there's coming a day when the prayers of God's people will be answered. Amen. The Bible said in verse 3, and all the rulers of the province and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. There's coming a day when prayer changed things. What the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, that we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up, child of God. God's hearing your prayers. I know it don't look like it. It didn't look like it for a long time God heard any prayer from these Jews. But they had fasted and prayed, and a couple of them had a little bit of faith in their life that they believed that God heard. And Esther went before the king and said, if I perish, I perish. Mordecai said, if you don't go, God will raise somebody else up. And some people that had strong faith that God could do something, but most people was like most of us. We didn't know if he was hearing or not. I don't know if he's ever going to ever answer, amen. But thank God, God always shows up and answers, amen. And when he answers, our faith gets strong, amen. Their little bit of faith, amen, rattled heaven, amen. They reaped because they didn't faint. Their prayers, there's coming a day that prayer changed things. You know what prayer did? Prayer brought those Jews together. When Esther said, hey, you go out and pray. And me and my maidens are going to pray. You know what they're doing? They're coming together. Look in verse number 2. And the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities. You know what prayer I do? Prayer gather you together. Amen. Come together on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Come together. Amen. Hey, prayer gets you together. Amen. Hey, you know what? You know what helps a division amongst God's people? Get together and pray together. Amen. Hey, now some of that stuff's going to have to go away. Amen. Hey, there's coming a day that prayer will change things. Amen. Thank God there's coming a day. When the enemy will be overthrown, but there's coming a day that prayer changed things. Amen. Hey, prayer brought them together. Hey, prayer brought fear to their enemies. In verses 2. Amen. They got scared. Hey, why are they scared and they the minority? Because God's done rattled something down on earth because somebody rattled up in heaven. Prayer brought them together. Prayer brought fear to the enemy. And prayer brought them help. Guess who lined up with him in verse 3? The lieutenants. Amen. The rulers of the province. The deputies. The officers of the king. Help the Jews. Because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. There came a day when prayer changed things. The psalmist says in Psalms 86 and verse 7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. You know what to do, child of God, when trouble's around? Just pray. You say, but don't like that's happening. Don't worry. It will change things. Amen. Hey, God will show up. Amen. Hey, and if we look back, hindsight's 20/20, we have seen in the past where He's heard our prayers and done something. The problem is we're a little bit weak in faith most of the time that when it's actually going on, we pray Him, but we don't know. We kind of like that, Father, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. But nonetheless, God still shows up. It's coming a day that prayer is going to change things. You keep praying. Keep rattling heaven, amen. Asking God to do something because prayer changes lives. Prayer changes things. You know what the Bible says in the principles here? Look in Proverbs chapter 28. Hold your place here. Proverbs 28. Talking about this coming a day that prayer changed things. You remember the setting of the story? We know the story about Esther and her faith and Mordecai and him raising her right and the faith in what God done through that whole thing and how Haman had made a decree to have them all killed and they stepped out by faith, trusted God. God miraculously came through. But sometimes you forget the setting of the story. And I've said it a little bit tonight already. They're in captivity. This is not their home where they're at. Where all this is going on is strange land to them. You know what? As a child of God, this is not our home. Amen. This is strange land to us. And in some cases, just like the Jews, they are in this situation because of their own sin. Do you know why they're been taken captive? Because they didn't walk with God like they should. They didn't do what God told them to do, so God let the enemy come in and take them captive. But you know what they did in the midst of their disobedience and their captivity? They remembered the Lord. You know why sometimes we don't pray? Because we say, hey, I'm not right of God to pray. I don't deserve to pray. Why should God even hear my prayer? But you know what? If you're willing to wake up and turn to God, God's willing to answer. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Do you know what? The Jews are over here in captivity because of their own sin. But even though they're over here in their own, because of their own sin and their own disobedience, they come a time when they look up to heaven and say, God, I know we don't deserve it. It's kind of like Daniel three times a week praying towards Jerusalem. And that principle over in the Old Testament, they'd turn to God and look to God. God would hear them in their distress when they were in a mess. It's like looking up to the hills from which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve His mercy, but God, I'm willing to turn to You. And if you'll hear me, you can change lives. Amen. And in the middle of their disobedience, they prayed, and God heard their prayer. Child of God, don't let the devil get on your shoulder and say, you don't deserve to pray. Look how you've been living. Hey, just turn to God and let Him know, God, I'm sorry. I don't deserve it, but I know You said if I turn to You and confess my sins, You're faithful and just to forgive me and intervene in my life. But we look back with God's answered prayer in our lives and we look at the filthy state we was in when we done it and think, why in the world would God even look our way? You know why? Because there's coming a day when God's going to answer your prayer. keep rattling heaven. Don't faint. Men ought always to pray and not faint. There's coming a day when the enemy will be overthrown, and that day came to pass. There's coming a day when prayer will change things, so keep praying. Number three, back in Esther chapter number 9, there is coming a day when the Jews will rule. There's coming a day. This day came to pass. Chapter 9 finally got here. Of all the anguish and all the heartache and all the fear, now things has turned over in just one day. One day changed the whole outlook on all of it. Man, I think about that as far as, you know, this ain't in the message, but you think about that as far as when we were lost without God on our way to a devil's hell, and one day changed our lives.
Amen.
I mean, it changed it all. Thank God there came a day, amen. Amen, and there's coming a day also that the Jews will rule. Look at chapter 9 and verse 4. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Now all he was in the whole book, amen, was Esther's stepfather, Esther's cousin. Just a man that worked down at the gate of the city down there watching over the king. I mean, he delivered the king one night, but it kind of got swept under the rug. Nobody remembered it until one day God woke up the king where he couldn't sleep one night. He got to thinking about how somebody delivered his life. Had to begin to read in the book what had happened, and he wanted to honor him for it. But he's just kind of in the background most of the time. Hey, but he just kept plugging along and kept doing right, and God honored it, amen. God honored it. There's coming a day. Now he's great and waxed greater and greater. Verse 5 says, thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction and did what they would unto those that hated them. There's coming a day when the Jews will rule. That day's coming. Hey, man. You know what? We might not agree with everything the Jews do, but you better not turn your back on them. Hey, you might not agree with a lot of things the Jews do today, and I realize they rejected their Messiah and they crucified the Lord, but you better keep your hand off of them.
Amen.
That Bible principle is over there all through this old book, amen. Genesis 12 and 3, it started over there with Abraham, and God said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. I think the only things keeping America floating is they keeping their hand off of Israel. I mean, why else would he take care of us? Look at all the sin and the immorality and the wickedness that's going on in our land. Amen. We deserve the judgment that's coming. But I believe the only thing that's keeping the bottom from falling out is we ain't touched Israel. Amen. You better watch it. Amen. There's coming a day and they're going to rule. Romans chapter number 11. God will graft them back in. So much for replacement theology in that garbage. Amen. We have not taken the place of Israel. They're still God's chosen people. God's still going to graft them back in. Daniel 70th week will come and judgment will come to them. But there's coming a day they're going to rule and reign with him. There's coming a day when the Jews will rule the world. He said, well, I don't like that. I ain't a Jew. That's all right. Don't worry. You fit in if you're saved. Hey, Luke chapter number 1 and verse 31 and 32 and 33, and it's talking about the birth of Jesus coming. But in the context of talking about his birth, Luke 2, we know that is the birth account of where he came into this world, the first coming. In that first chapter in verse 32 and 33, it talks about him ruling and reigning. Ruling and reigning. He didn't rule and reign that first time. Amen. He's born in a manger. Amen. He lived a lonely life and died on an old rugged cross. But thank God he got up because he was God. And there's coming a day where he's going to rule and reign on this earth on the throne of David forever. And the Jews will be on top. Amen. Listen to this. You write these down. Check them out. Matthew 19, 28. The disciples that forsook all to follow him, not just the 12 but the others, they're going to sit on the 12 thrones. Ruling. You know why? Because the Jews are going to rule one day. Jesus is that Jew that will rule and rule the whole world. Those 12 thrones sitting below him over there on the earth in the millennium. It's set up for those apostles and disciples, amen, that forsook all. God's going to honor it one day. There's coming a day. Yeah, they all got murdered and killed and destroyed. But there's coming a day. They're going to rule and reign with him. It didn't look like that day was ever going to come to pass when they took the last breath. But you hold on. It ain't over yet, amen. There is coming a day when the Jews will rule forever. our king will be on the throne. Amen. Hey, the disciples will rule and reign. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, the saints of God in the tribulation that will be headed will rule and reign also. I said there's coming a day when the Jews will rule the world. Jesus, the ultimate leader of the Jews, will be on the throne. The 12 thrones for the tribes, apostles that forsook all to serve Him. The tribulation saints that wouldn't take the mark of the beast. Amen. They were beheaded for the cause of Christ. But guess what? There's coming a day when they're going to rule on earth with Jesus. Amen. There's also coming a day when me and you's going to rule. Look in Revelation chapter 1. But preacher, you said the Jews are going to rule the world. Don't worry, we fit the mold, man. We fit the mold. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says this, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to have what? To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He's made us kings and priests. Look in chapter 5 and verse 9. We're going to rule and reign with Him. Chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth." That's talking about you and I. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. But how do you know that's talking about us? Look in Romans chapter 2. Here's the kicker. There's coming a day when the Jews are going to rule forever. Mordecai, that Jew's reigning, it didn't look like they was ever going to rule and reign. But there's coming a day the king of the Jews is going to show up. And those disciples that forsook all will be there on those thrones with Him. Those beheaded Jews of the tribulation will be there with Him. But you and I, as spiritual Jews, will be there ruling and reigning also. Romans chapter 2, look in verses number 29. Romans 2 and 29. The Bible says this, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise is not in men, but of God." You know what God said we are spiritually? Circumcised believers, we are Jews spiritually. I'm not talking about Jews religiously. I'm talking about spiritually. As a born-again child of God, us as God's people will rule with God forever. There's coming a day when the Jews will rule. Those Jews that followed Him while He walked on earth. Those Jews that followed Him in the tribulation. And us spiritual Jews that are born again today will rule and reign with Christ. Amen. There's coming a day when the Jews will rule. There's coming a day that prayer changed things. There's coming a day that God will show up and overthrow the enemy. Hey, but number 4, there's coming a day when vengeance will be poured out on God's enemies. Amen. That day's coming. You know, you look around at the enemies of God today and the enemy of the saints of God, and it looks like they're prevailing. There's coming a day God's going to straighten this thing out. He is going to straighten this thing out. Man, these people were wreaking havoc for the Jews, had them fearful for their lives, but there came a day. On the day that they thought they was going to do it, it's the same day that God mocked them in their face and delivered God's people and poured out vengeance on His enemies. Look at this in verse number 6. The Bible says they slaughtered them with the sword in verse 5, and they had destruction on them that hated them. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And in verse 7, 8, and 9, the 10 sons of Haman, they were killed, amen, the enemy of the Jews. And they lay not their hand on the spoil. The Bible says in verse 11, "On that day the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king." And ultimately, the Bible says in verse number 16, there were 75,000 of them destroyed. Do you know what? There came a day when vengeance was poured out on God's enemies. I mean, you want to look at something. Look at this. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. There's coming a day God's going to pour out His vengeance. He said, "But God's a loving God. He is. He loved you so much to die for your sins. He loved us so much to go to Calvary for us." But there's coming a day when those that rejected rejected Calvary and rejected the love and the blood of His Son is going to get God's vengeance. And there's coming a day when people keep mocking God's people and going against God's people, that God's going to show them some vengeance on their part. Hey, you better keep your hands off God's people. I know in the Jews he didn't put up with it, and God ain't going to put it up with you putting your hands on the church neither. Look at this, Deuteronomy 32. You know what we've lost? The fear of God. Deuteronomy 32, look in verse number 35. Look at this right here. The Bible says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand. There is coming a day. And the things that shall come upon them make haste. Look in verse 41. The Bible says this. If I whet my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Look in verse 43. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. You know what God did? There came a day that vengeance was poured out. When it looked like it was going to be poured out on the Jews, the women, children, men, it didn't matter. It was turned on them, and God poured vengeance out on God's enemies. Up to 75,000 of them were slain. There's coming a day. You know what he says in Romans 12 and 9? Dearly beloved, venge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There's coming a day. There's coming a day when God's enemies will face God's vengeance. It's coming. Do you know what? Maybe you're here and you're lost, or maybe you're watching this on the internet tonight and you're lost. There's coming a day when God will pour out his vengeance on those that die without Jesus Christ. That day's coming. Boy, it's sad to be on the wrong side of God. Hey, listen to this verse, you that are lost. 2 Thessalonians, you don't have to turn there. Chapter 1 and verses number 8, the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge with flaming fire. Hey, a devil's hell and ultimately a lake of fire where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. God's going to pour vengeance out on those that know not God and have not obeyed his gospel message. There's coming a day that vengeance will be poured out on God's enemy. You die lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be God's enemy forever. It's coming today. Look back in Esther chapter number 9. Here's something that's neat to look at. While God's pouring out his vengeance. Look in the end of verse 10. The Bible says, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. Remember what we read over in chapter 3 and verse 13? He said, let's kill all the Jews and take their spoil. And over there in chapter 8, was it verse 11 and verse 12? God, Ahasuerus had Mordecai and Esther write another decree. And the decree was to stand up for your lives and defend yourselves and kill them first. And take their spoil. But you know what happens over here when they kill them? They leave the spoil. The Bible said it three different times. In verse 10, they lay not their hand on the spoil. In verse number 15, the Bible says, in the end of verse 15, but on the prey they laid not their hand. In the end of verse 16, but they laid not their hands on the prey. They didn't take a thing. Why didn't they take a thing? Well, here's two thoughts. Number one, the Jews wanted victory. They didn't want the stuff. They wanted victory. They wanted to be relieved out from under that burden. It wasn't the stuff they wanted. Amen. You know what? When we get our eyes on just the victory instead of the stuff, we're going to be all a little bit better off. Amen. And victory is what we need. We don't need the stuff. We need the victory from God. Amen. But number two, here's a thought. Haman was an Agagite. Remember that? He's a descendant of the Amalekites. Remember who the Amalekites was? Over there in 1 Samuel, when God sent Saul out there and he said, go kill all the Amalekites. Kill King Agag and all the rest of them. And God told him, he said, when you go kill them all, women, children, all the animals, take nothing for a spoil. And he sent Saul out. Saul was God's king. At that time, the Jews warned him. God said, all right, you take him, you follow me, and we'll do right by it. But they didn't do right. You know they didn't do right, and Saul didn't do right. Saul's another type of the Antichrist, amen. And Saul went out there, and he spared the king's life, and he spared the great sheep. And when Samuel came up to him and he said, hey, what's this bleeding of sheep in my ears? God said to utterly destroy all the Amalekites. He didn't. He saved the king, spared his life, spared some of the great, we're going to make sacrifice to God. God said he didn't want a sacrifice in that mess. He wanted it all killed. Do you know what? If they'd have been destroyed, like God said they should have been destroyed, there would have never been a Haman. He's a descendant from there. He'd have never made it. But he didn't destroy them all. And some of them were spared. And now we have Haman over here, enemy of the Jews. And now here's a chance, amen. Here's this Amalekite. And I'm maybe thinking that these Jews are remembering, amen. They know where this guy's from. And these Jewish people know their history and know how God's dealt with his people, amen. More than most Christians know how God deals with God's people nowadays. But they knew their Bible, amen. And a lot of God's people are ignorant of the Bible. But they knew their Bible. And they knew what had happened. They maybe thought, hey, maybe we atone ourselves today and not take spoil like we shouldn't have took it back then. Because God's been so good to us. They took not the spoil. There's coming a day, church, number five, that God will do more than we could ever imagine. Look in verse 12. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace. And 10 sons of Haman. Here's what the king said. What have they done in the rest of the king's province? Now, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Oh, what is thy request further? And it shall be done. You know what the king's saying? If they ain't enough, what else you want? Haman's 10 sons have been slain. Many people in the palace has been slain. And Esther said this, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews, which are in Shushan, to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree. That day was to kill him. He said, give us another day. That's what she said. Give us another day. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Let everybody know who's ruling and reigning around here. Boy, there's coming a day that God's going to do more than we could ever imagine. More than we could ever imagine. You know what God, Esther would have never thought her life would have been what it was. She came from poor nothing. In captivity in a strange land, and God miraculously put her in the kingdom, let her marry the king, let Mordecai be made in second in charge, amen. The one that raised her when they had nothing, just a poor father, a figure in her life, and they never brought up with nothing, but God rewarded them, and now she's over in the palace, and the king says, what else you want? Man, there's coming a day that God's going to say, what else you want? Now, I don't know how to wrap my mind around that as much as God's been so good to me. And I know I've had heartaches and you've had heartaches, but you know what? We count it and weigh it out. Amen. God's been better to us than we deserve. Yeah. But boy, we cannot imagine how good it's going to be when there's coming a day. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 in closing. There's coming a day. There's coming a day that God will show up and overthrow the enemy. There's coming a day that prayer changed things. There's coming a day when the Jews will rule. There's coming a day when vengeance will be poured out on the enemy. But there's coming a day that God will do more than we could ever imagine. Amen. When we try to read about heaven, we try to read about leaving this old world and kind of think about it and meditate on it a little bit. But man, it's going to be more than we could ever imagine. Paul said it like this, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Listen, look at this. He says, but as it is written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you know what? Esther could have never dreamed the life that she had. Never. Do you know what? We dream about heaven and think about what it's going to be like. And at our highest peak of our imagination, the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. You can't dream it up big enough. Yeah, right. There is coming a day that's going to be more than we could ever imagine. We ain't going to be able to contain ourselves. Now, you know what that does? That gives us hope that there is coming a day. So you know what the child of God ought to do? Just press on. Keep praying. Keep sticking by the Jews. keep doing right to your enemies. God's going to take care of them. Amen. Hey, keep looking up to heaven. Set your affections on things above and not on things below. Man, there is coming a day that maybe that these sorrows that we face in our lives, that our children has brought and brothers and sisters has brought and church members has brought on us, there's coming a day it's all going to be gone. We're going to be in heaven with God, and it's going to be behind us more than we could ever imagine how great it's going to be. Thank God there is coming a day. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. There's coming a day. It's coming. You know what you can say about that? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.